Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. October 6, 2014, City Council Workshop.
And it's like, I'm picking it up right now, that late, it's like, so I tried to ever...
Good evening, I'd like to welcome everyone. Call this October 6, 2014, fellow City Council Workshop meeting to order. If you'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to assemble tonight. I pray that you would give us an increased wisdom to make good decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May be seated. Tonight, all our council members are here, except for Eugene Bain. He called me here about an hour and a half ago, asked to be excused. He had a family emergency with his father over on the other side of the United States, so honestly, our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. So at this time, I'd entertain a motion to excuse Eugene Bain from tonight's proceedings.
I'll make that motion.
Second. We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1.04, citizen input, is on our agenda tonight, and we are open to input from any citizen. I don't see any present other than newspaper and staff, so I think we can dispense with that and move on to item 2, the current business, 2.01, solid waste fund review.
Thank you very much. I wanted to take a couple of minutes and talk about our solid waste fund tonight and talk about rates for moving into the future with this fund. If you'll remember, this is a fund that back in 2006 we had quite a surplus of money in our solid waste fund, in our garbage fund. And at that time, the decision was made, because we had such a surplus, let's hold our rates steady and let's work our surplus down for a couple of years, and let's use these dollars. If we're not going to be using these, if we're collecting a surplus, let's why raise the rates when we have a surplus? So we've come up to a point here 8 years later where it's time to take a look at this fund and the rates that we've established and see what's best for this fund looking into the future. The solid waste fund is called an enterprise fund. So really it's supposed to operate like its own business separate from the city, where the rates in this fund should be set so that its revenues take care of its expenses, and it's its own entity within the city. For the last couple of years, like I said, we held rates steady, which ate away at our reserves, and now we're at a point where we want to take a look at our rates, make sure that this fund will be able to take care of its own expenses. And I have an Excel spreadsheet here that I'll go over to in just a sec. It's very similar to the worksheet that we used when we're looking at our water review, where we look at the solid waste fund itself and the reserve fund, take the dollars, those dollars together, because really they're the, we need to look at those funds together as one function of the city. And we can look at the revenues and the expenses and project those out in the future years and see where we end up with different rate increases. So I'm going to turn my other microphone on. And we're in business. So I have an Excel spreadsheet that I'll briefly walk you through, and then we can talk about some different options with some different rate increases. So up top here we have 2013 actual, we have 2014. These are the year-end estimates with the revenue
and then going down to the expense side, which gives us an ending fund balance, and then we have our solid waste reserve fund is in the gray here. And then both of those funds taken together is this bottom line here. So you can see $157,000 there. So let's look at, for our revenues, I built in a few escalators because rates are going to be just with more population. We're going to get more revenue just because we have more services that we're offering due to population. On the expense side, I also use an escalator because the expenses of the fund are always going up. Even if we're not raising our rates to the citizens, our expenses as a city are going up with the landfill and the CDSI, our garbage company. So I put a couple things in here, and we can spend some more time on some of those projections if you want, or we can come over here and shrink some of these sections. So we just look at the rate increase and what's that going to do to our ending fund balance. Ultimately, we need to set a rate so it curbs the whittling away of our fund balance. So we need to kind of level things out and then just start growing it just slightly, just so the fund balance and the revenues are sufficient to take care of this fund's expenses. I also want to mention right before we start talking about some of these, I met with the Finance Committee and I met with the Solid Waste Budget Committee, and we discussed these things in depth, and they're really two different things that we've got to, from my seat, that I see that we need to balance here. One is making sure the fund can take care of itself, but then the other side is the effect to the citizen. That's where the rubber hits the road, and we want to be mindful of that. So after we talk about some of the different options for rate increases, I also have a deal in here that shows what's the ultimate effect to the citizens. How are these different increases going to affect our citizens? So having those two things in mind, we've built this model here. When I met with the Finance Committee maybe 2 months ago, I think it was, the increase for the next 3 years that we saw at that point was 7%, 7%, 7%. At this point, I've been able to update. We're further on in the year. We have our numbers are more reflective of the actuals for the year. And so I've updated the numbers to get as close to the real numbers as possible. And with those updated numbers, it looks like the rate increases now would be 5%, 5%, 5%. And those rate increases up here, so we can see 5%, 5%, 5%. Let's go to 3, 3, and 3, and just see what that does. I'm going to grab a red. If we try a couple different options here with our fund balances, I'll change them to 3, 3, and 3 up here. And let's watch and see what that does to our ending fund balance down here. Change the, well, I just need to change. So yeah, that changed all three of them. So a 3% increase across the board will get us to where we have something at the end of this year, something at the end of next year. But starting 2016, we've already exhausted our surplus in that fund. And then that trend will continue in 2017. If we go up to 4%, you can see it puts off of this going into a deficit for these two funds. Still in 2017, we start going down. Then 5%, this actually turns the tide. So we can start putting a little something extra in this fund going into future years. So 2018 would just continue this upward trend. If we have, when we're looking at these increases, we have some different options. Here we can do 5%, 5%, 5%, which would afford us most likely the option to do maybe a 3%, 3%, 3% after that. These first couple years here with just 5% each year, it needs to be kind of high like that so we can turn the tide here, so we can kind of level out here in 2016 and then in 2017 make it so this fund is self-sustaining. Ultimately, we just need to play around with these and make sure our bottom lines here are not ripped. I have a couple of other things. If we're looking up into the expenses, we have some alley approaches here that we've been budgeting for the last couple of years. This year, in 2014, we budgeted for some alley approach improvements. And in talking with our public works director, we're getting so close to the end of the year, and he's had some other projects that he's been working on. He just hasn't been able to get to this year. So it's likely that we're not going to be spending the money that we budgeted, the $55,000 on alley approach improvements this year. But next year, he would like to get back in the rotation of updating these things, so we don't get to a position 5 years down the road where we've got to pour more money into it. Here we can just do small improvements each year as we're going along. But if we keep $55,000 in each year and a 5% increase for each one of these years for the next 3 years, ultimately that'll turn the tide down here for the funds. What does that 5% look like to members of the public, to citizens? Here's the 64-gallon toter and the 95-gallon toter. Here, this year in 2014, the monthly cost for those toters are $13.57 and $15.07. It's too bad this background is grayed out. It's kind of hard to see. $13.57 and $15.07. And then you can see with a 5% increase each year, the increase is about 70 cents per year for each one of the types of toters, respectively. 70 cents a month. Sorry, that's what I meant. So that's ultimately the increase that the citizens would see. What is this stuff? Okay. So these are the increases up above, 5%, 5%, 5%. Here's ultimately the impact on the citizens. Earlier today, I spoke with three other cities, the city of Quincy, Ephrata, and Moses Lake, to get a sense of where we're falling, where our rates are falling compared to theirs. And before I share those with you, we really shouldn't be basing our rates based on other communities' rates. We want to base our rates based on our program and the expense that we see for our garbage system. But at least seeing what other cities pay, it gives us a sense of where we are compared to some other communities. So Quincy and Ephrata, for a 64-gallon toter, they're in between $10 and $17, $10.1675. So in between $10 and $17 for a 64-gallon toter. Then their 95-gallon toter. So really, we're right about in the middle. We have $13.57. That's our toter here. 2015 would be $14.25, so that's pretty close to the middle of a $10 to $17 cost. Then the 95-gallon toters, Quincy charges $15, and Ephrata charges $21.50. And so with the larger toters, we're just above the bottom end. Moses Lake has a different system. They have a garbage recycling yard waste. And so their 64 and 95 gallon toters are $18.50 and $28, respectively. I'm rounding there, but so their system is a bit more, but it's for a different type of service. So with that, tonight I just wanted to bring this up to you. I think I've had this conversation with a number of you through some of the different meetings that we've had. And I want some of your feedback. Is this the direction that you see? I'm just kind of looking for some feedback here. Is this something that you like? Or tonight, we don't need to make any decisions tonight. maybe in a couple of weeks, we'll bring this back to council with further guidance that you may have, and we'll have the official ordinance that establishes the real rates. But tonight, I just wanted to make you aware of the activity in this fund, where we're at, what we're doing. We haven't raised rates, like I said, for the last 8 years, if we were to have some kind of rate increase, maybe 1% each one of those years, it's possible that we could have just continued with a 1% or 2% each one of those years. Here we're making up for 8 years worth of static rates. But once we've done this makeup, then it's very possible that we can have our rate increase be the 1 or 2% moving in the future years. So,
council?
Well, I think this is a good plan. 5% isn't that much considering we haven't paid any rate increases for the last 80 years. And having the fund become self-sufficient and where it's balanced as opposed to having a huge reserve, I think it's a good plan.
I think it's on the right track, too.
Okay. Well, 5% gets us up to $55,000. Are you taking into consideration the growth, you know, for the future?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've built an escalator to increase both the revenue and the expense side. Still, those are only going to be estimates, but I think they're hopefully pretty close.
Well, if you look at what we're going to pay for waste, it's pennies. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the change from 1 year to the next.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, you know, after 3 or so years of 5%, we're probably going to be able to bump that down, back down to a, you know, 2 to 3, 1.
Yeah.
Depending
yeah.
on where we're at, and still have it being be self-sufficient and balancing. So, I think it's a great plan.
And we can adjust these 5%, 5%, 5% in different ways. We can have maybe a 7 and a 4 and a 3. We can play with that a little bit. But this kind of balances out the effect on the members of the community and also meeting the needs of the fund. So hopefully there's some kind of happy medium in there.
It's about $9 a year for the 95 gallon.
Yeah.
Which isn't that bad.
With that, I'll prepare an ordinance with this idea in mind, and we can bring that before council and go from there.
Okay, thank you, Spencer.
Okay, thank you.
Item 2.02 is the Sewer Funding Coalition. Wade, you got some information.
As you guys are aware, at some point in the future, we're going to have to have a new sewer system, a new sewer treatment plant, rather. Whether we do it in phases or do it all at once, that doesn't matter. And we're in good company with a lot of other small communities out there that are faced with the same challenge. In fact, there's about 240 small communities out there that could be affected by this. So with that in mind, the city of Shelton, their mayor and their administrator, is putting together a sewer funding coalition. The city of Shelton, I think I sent you all some information on it, but they've got themselves in about $53 million in debt over sewer funding stuff, and their population is only about 10,000 people. So their sewer rates right now are like $100+ a month, plan to go up to $135 a month by 2020. Look at what we've got right now at $35 a month or so. That's quadruple what we're doing. And that would be not good. So there's a fund out there called the Centennial Fund that is about $50 million right now. But what this coalition is trying to do is get these small communities together to increase that fund. And the reason, of course, we're in this situation is because the unfunded mandates out there, which says we have to get our water up to a certain level. That's great. But if you look at how much it's going to cost us, and we figured between $20 and $25 million, maybe more, million dollars, some of these other communities are in the same boat. There's a list that they put out on what some of these communities, you know, what kind of rates they're looking at. And it's anywhere from, you know, where we are right now, $25, $35 a month, up to $100+ a month across the country and across the state, rather. It's scheduled to go up. So, what the city of Shelton did is put together this coalition. They briefed us, the mayor and I were at a conference back in June, July. And I attended a meeting that had about 35 communities in it, very spirited meeting, a lot of inputs, a lot of communities are in trouble. For instance, the city of Cooley will have to basically shut down because they cannot afford the $8.7 million for their small community to put into a sewer plant. So, the purpose of this funding coalition is to help pressure our legislature here in Washington State to increase this funding in the Centennial Fund from about $50 to $200 million. There are the folks at Shelton, they signed up about 30 people so far, and what they're doing to put this pressure on is they're meeting personally with some of the representatives, but as we know, what gets things done is gets things done in any kind of legislative body is lobbyists. So what they want to do is hire lobbyists. I think it's still part-time, but they already hired at their expense an intern to help organize this, but they want help obviously from us to hire this lobbyist. They're doing it by population at about $2 per citizen in the city, so we got about 7,500. They figured our share was $1,500 a year to help fund this. So the reason I'm coming to you tonight is to give you this information, let you chew a little bit, look at the information I sent you, and then hopefully bring this to a vote to spend $1,500 to help out with this coalition. And I think it's worthwhile monies. If we don't do something in the legislature, we're going to find ourselves in a bad situation here in number 4, 5, 10 years from now. With no real source of funding except for loans. And we don't want to be $53 million in debt like Shelton. I think we will, but especially if he spent through the hell, we'll probably be okay. So with that, I'll close and answer any questions you all might have.
Wade, you mentioned $2 a person per capita. That would come out to almost $15,000.
I'm sorry.
That would come to 50. Yeah, unless it's 20 cents. Okay.
Sorry. It's wrong.
That's okay.
It's about $1,500. Yeah.
For my part, I think $1,500 is pretty cheap to spend on a lobbyist that could possibly help us in the long run with getting funding for our surge treatment plan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll bring it to a vote next council meeting. But again, if there's any questions you may have, send them to me. I'll send them to the folks over at Shelton and see if they have any information that you all might want or need. So.
Is there anything you guys want me to tell the mayor and the administrator of Shelton with regard to their effort? Any questions you want me to ask them?
What did the DOE go after them for? What was the final straw that broke the camel's back?
I don't know. Probably in the discharge, and that's usually where it's at, is somewhere in the discharge, they either were not meeting the standard or the standard had changed and they couldn't meet the new standard. And that's what we're faced with. As Wade pointed out, the standard is changing and it's getting more stringent, it's stricter, and further requirements. And so in order to develop one that meets those newer standards, it's going to be an extremely expensive proposition for the city of Othello. And so one of the things I did this morning is I contacted Mark Chesler's office and asked if they would be open to a discussion. And I just read here tonight that his senior assistant responded, said that thanks for the advance notice. They will put that on the 2015 budget agenda, and that they would be more than happy to open a discussion with us. So I think that there's the two prongs that Ken Johnson and I were learning last year, again, is watching Pullman and how they operate at the legislature. They have a group effort and then they have their own individual effort, and I think that we would do well to join the group and yet at the same time work it from our own angle for our own purposes here. again.
No, I think that's a great way to hit it. There's a lot of these unfunded mandates coming down, and eventually the state's going to have to start kicking in, especially when the Department of Ecology is making rules along the way.
Well, as the state has adopted the more strict side of the rules that came down from the national level, it appears. So we're stuck with that. And what's going to probably happen is that when we get to that point, we'll have to use a combination of hopefully grant funding, what we saved up at that point, and then probably some kind of loan to go with it. So our goal is to keep that loan amount as small as possible, so we don't burden the citizens with some big amount of debt, like other communities had to do already.
See, what becomes difficult for us as a city is an issue starts to take off like this, and then we have to spend a tremendous amount of time to research and just find out exactly what it's going to mean to us, how is it going to affect our operation, not only in what we do, but how much it costs to continue to do business. And so I think partnering isn't going to hurt us. It is a small amount of money, like Gina said, and I think that we can gain by that grouping with these other cities. But it's just what we're faced with today in our environment is that as regulations change, things are happening so quickly at different levels that something that wasn't even at the forefront this time a year ago has now suddenly moved to center stage, and that's sewer discharge and meeting your sewer. I mean, I realize it was an issue, but is now moving directly to the forefront. So I guess it's just business as usual, as they say. Anybody else have any questions for Wade? So I would anticipate then, Wade, that'll be on the next council agenda for a vote.
A vote, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll do a recap. If I find more information, I'll bring that up. But,
okay. Thank you, Wade. And I think, well, number nine update, Wade has a quick update for us.
Yeah, just there's not a whole lot to report other than the well is ready to get the sleeve. It's going to go down there and protect the well. We're still researching that piece. Everything else is in place to put the pump in. And as soon as we start that process, we'll let you know. But as you guys know, on Cunningham Road and everything, we're doing cuts now for the water pipe and stuff, so we're going to have to worry. Everything will be in place. So we're going to have to re-dig up the road and do that. So it looks good so far. The main changes, I'll let you all know, well now. So as long as I'm up here, there's another update for you. You guys had asked a while back about the irrigation district and the fencing and that sort of thing. I talked to Craig Simpson today. He gave me a map to show what their right-of-way was, what our right-of-way was. He doesn't know who owns that fence. I've got Terry working on that, and I've got the map. And so my thing to him was, if nobody owns that ugly fence, can we pull it down and get it out of the way? And he's worked on that too. I asked him, Angel, about your deal and where that was and why you had to put up a fence. Apparently in the last 10, 15, 20 years, they've changed their policies and procedures so that any new development, housing development, that goes up next to a canal has to put up a fence. You got caught in the change.
So that fence is going to go down if nobody's liable for it? Or?
Don't know yet. Okay, don't know
but
yet.
That's not right.
Yeah. I'll just tell you what he told me, okay? Now, if we want to, we're looking at who owns that, who's in the right-of-way, Terry's going to measure it off, and then we'll revisit. I just want to report what we found, okay? That's what I found out. Okay, anything else for me?
No, thank you, Wade. The Transportation Benefit District is going to hold a meeting October 27th, a half hour before our regularly scheduled council meeting. And, I'm sorry?
October 27th.
So instead of at 7 o'clock, we'll meet at 6:30. That's a public meeting. And this council and mayor are all the board of that Transportation Benefit District. So we'll be prepared to have a discussion. Moving on to item three, committee reports. Are there any committee reports to come before the council? Everybody's shaking their head no, so we'll go to item four, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business that needs to be brought up before the city? Hearing none, we'll move to new business. Is there any new business any council member or staff would like to bring up or have researched for the next meeting? Hearing none there. Item six, council will also receive the Othello Police Department August report. And we have stats. And is there anything, Phil, that you want to add, or we'll just receive the report? Okay. With that, with no other business to come before the council, I'll adjourn the meeting, 7:30 p.m.